each. We'll give you a 2-minute warning. Take it away, Eddie.
Hey everybody, I'm an alcoholic. My name is Eddie K, and I appreciate all the day counters for being here and everybody just coming back, and you're my heroes. You really are. For a long time I was in and out of this process. I came in here at 21 years old. I was sentenced by a judge. I got in trouble and the consequences started coming. So I went in front of this judge and I'm thinking I'm getting probation, get out of here, let me get back to my miserable existence, right? And the judge said something totally surprising to me. He said, "I'm going to give you this card, young man, and I'm going to want you to go to an AA meeting and get it signed for me. It has seven signatures, where seven signatures go." And I was pissed off. "Just give me probation. I don't care. Give me a year. Give me 2 years. Good, whatever. I don't want to go to AA." So I felt like I got sentenced in AA. And I felt like he said to me, "No more fun for you, young man. You're sentenced to AA for the rest of your life." Scared the living crap out of me. So I walked down there, he gave me an option, jail or jail get assigned. And I don't think I could have went to jail for what I did, but at that time I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about anything. So I walked down to this meeting with my little bad boy strut, right, my hair down on my back, and I was pissed. So I go down to this church and open the door, and it was a bunch of old people in there smoking cigarettes and laughing, and they scared the living crap out of me. And I hugged the wall. And I couldn't understand why you were laughing. Why in my head, I'm thinking, why are you laughing? Because by this time I was already broken. By this time I was already an alcoholic and I knew it. And I just didn't care. See, I crossed that line from being a cucumber to a pickle when I was 18, 19 years old. I come from a very, very abusive childhood. I got molested at a young age, 6, 7 years old. And I had all this guilt and shame inside of me that I stuffed down for the longest time. And when I was 10, 11 years old, I was in the alleyways and I always hung with or gravitated towards older people, older kids. And one of them handed me a beer. And they looked like they were having fun and laughing the same way they were doing in AA, right? I didn't know it yet, but so I grabbed that beer and I chugged it down. And it took that fear and it took all that stuff inside of me that I had, that guilt and shame, right away, instantly. And I said, "Wow, this is magic. This is magic." So I chased that for a long, long, long time. I didn't stop. Why stop there, right? If I can feel like that every day. I didn't know anything about anything. So when that got me to that point where it started progressing, my disease started progressing. I hung in the bar, but I got served at since I was 15 years old. There was a bunch of bikers. They were my heroes, right? Look at these guys, they're my heroes. And they could party, ah, they're free spirits, right? And by the time I was 18, 19, them bikers used to say, "Man, you got a problem, bro. You need some help." I was like, "Yeah, right." I shrugged it off, man. "Yeah, right." And made me think for about 2 seconds and run right back to what I do. And I was chasing, man. I was chasing. And that's when the consequences started coming. That's when I went in front of the judge. And that's where I hugged the wall when I went down there and hugged the wall. And the men came over to me and they knew I was new and they gave me a little handshake or a little hug and I didn't want nothing to do with them. Just sign my card so I can get back to my miserable existence. I wish I could have stayed sober that day. I wish I did enough to stay sober, but I didn't. I didn't want to. I was running. And I was running from me. That's who I was running from. I was running from Eddie. See, I was a stuffer for all them years, man. All them years stuffing that stuff down. I didn't want to deal with none of that stuff. I was running. And I proceeded to go in and out of AA for the next 30 years, 16, 17 rehabs. I'd jump into a rehab when everybody said, man, you need some help. You need to get out of my house. You're about to get fired." Whatever consequences started coming, and I jump into a rehab. Right, it was nice and safe to get that noise off my back, and go in there and not do one single thing, nothing. It was just a vacation time. I gained a little weight and come on back, right? And everybody's out. What you going to do this time? And as soon as they turned their head, I was right back to what I do. I was right back in that bar. There's a place called Nick's Taverns where I lived at. Excuse me, I'm right in that bar. And I wanted to show everybody how I was looking, man. I got some of my weight back. I got my little sexy back, right? Look, I got some color in my skin, man. Look at me, right? And I didn't drink for a day or two. See, I must not have a problem. I didn't go right for a drink that third or fourth day. Next thing I know, I had another Miller in my hand. I was a Miller killer and Southern Comfort drinker for a long time. In and out, in and out, in and out. 16, 17 rehabs. So at the end of this, right? At the end of my run, I was living under a bridge and laying on a bed of dirt like a barnyard animal. That's just my story, right? And I was out of options. See, my disease wanted me isolated and alone and in the dark where he can have his way with me. I was 47 years old. Everything good, it was going. My family wanted nothing to do with me. Thank God. All good opportunity was gone, gone, gone. And I was living under this bridge, sitting on it, and I was scared. And I remember looking up in the dark, and I just said, you know what? God, I didn't want to say the name God, right? And I'm so resentful towards God because he let all these things happen to me. You know, part of that abuse that I suffered as a kid, my mom used to beat me senseless and grab me out of bed. Man, we were dirt poor. Me and my brother had to share a bed, and my mom would grab me by the head of hair and rip my hair out. And I'd look up and I'd see my hair in her hand, and she'd punch me in the face and bust my lip or give me a black eye and said, take your brother to church or get your brother to school every single day. So I'd go down to that church on Sundays when she did that, and I'd go in front of this giant, beautiful wooden crucifix, and I used to say, God, how can you let this happen? How can you let this happen? I'm like, why didn't you stop it? Why don't you stop it? I didn't understand anything. I was just a scared little kid. So this time when I'm under that bridge now, I didn't want to say the God word, right? Because he did everything. I blame God for every single thing that happened. He could have protected me. That's the way I used to think. He could have protected me, but he didn't. He chose not to. So I looked up and said, look, man, if you're real, help me, please help me. And it wasn't 2 days later. It wasn't the help that I didn't know what to expect. Those two police officers came down and I got arrested. And thank God, so did my disease. And they whisked me away and they whisked me to jail and took me to a halfway house. I was in jail for 6 months, I think. So I was shoplifting. I was doing everything I had to do. I was desperate. And you know, desperate people do desperate things. And I was desperate. So I went to jail, and from jail they sent me to a halfway house up in downtown Pennsylvania, and that's where I got introduced to my disease at. I walked into this place, and you had to sign this gratitude list, and it was just 10 words on this piece of paper they gave you, and after the first week or so it was yes, no, yes, no. I wasn't grateful yet. Actually, my disease was kicking and screaming. I wanted to get the hell out of there and get a drink in me and hide and run, which I did for all them years. And they gave me a counselor there. There's a little blonde hair Barbie doll, little counselor. She wasn't an alcoholic or an addict. And she used to take me upstairs and like start what's going on and say certain words. And like she would say certain words because I was ready by then. I was ready. I was at a point where I said, you know what? All them times that I had a chance to do this, why not do it now, Eddie? Why not do it now? You have another chance here. And I always felt like I was undeserving of that chance. I really did. Because I felt I wasn't worthy enough from that abuse. And it wasn't the physical abuse that hurt me the most. It was the verbal and the mental abuse, especially the verbal. Boy, you ain't stuff. You're never going to be stuff, and I should have drowned you at birth. And my mom used to say that to me. She said, I was knee high to a grasshopper. So I always believe I wasn't good enough at anything, from taking a test at school or trying out for Little League Baseball. I always felt like I failed before I did anything. But a drink took that all away. A drink made me feel like I was 6'6" and 300 pounds. It gave me that fake courage. So now I'm here sitting in this little Barbie doll and I'm taking her inventory. She's not an alcoholic. She's not an addict. How's she going to help me? How's she going to help me? I'll tell you why she how she helped me. I let her help me this time. For the first time ever, I let somebody help me. And I got brutally honest with her. And she would say, what about the abuse? And like I would just spew all this stuff out at her. I tell her everything, every little detail about the abuse, about what happened with the bikers. My mom used to have biker parties on me. That was the first time I tried alcohol. I was the beer boy. She let me stay up one day and she took me to bed. And I was, when I was the beer boy, I said, whatever was left in the can, I started sipping, right? Because they looked like they were having fun. Every weekend this happened. She had biker parties. So when she took me up to bed, I had the spins. I got a little buzz on, and one of them bikers came upstairs and in my room, and I was spinning in my head. My brother, this time we had bunk beds. My brother was in the top bunk, and I was at the bottom. And he threw himself on me, and he couldn't breathe. I was suffocated. I didn't know what's going on, and I blacked out. I blacked that out for decades, until I came to AA. So I'm in with Casey, and I'm telling her all the details of everything. Everything, because it started to come back. Some of the things started to come back. And I told her about my mom's abuse, and I told her about some of the things I did. And like, for the first time ever, man, I let somebody help me. For the first time ever, I sold it all. I didn't care. I was willing to do whatever it took not to go back to that place. Not to go back underneath that bridge. So I started writing things on that gratitude list I told you about, and it was 10 words, sentences, like why I was grateful for this, why I was grateful for that. I was at that halfway house for 6.5 months. There wasn't enough paper. I had to get three or four other sheets. But that gratitude, that's what I was grateful for, because things started changing. Now I went back to AA, and when I was there, they made us go to meetings. And I started to do things I never did before. I didn't sit in denial aisle or relapse row. I started sitting closer to the front, and I put my hand up for the first time, and I meant it. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Eddie. I need help. I need help. I'm so afraid to ask for help all them years. I thought I would look weak. I couldn't look weak in the streets, right? Just because I got sentenced to AA, somebody might notice that. My ego, man, and my guilt and all that stuff, man. I couldn't put my hand up and say that because I always felt like I looked weak when I was doing now. I realized when I got sober, like it's the complete opposite. People just coming back are my heroes, man. They really are. Just coming back and saying, no, I'm just coming back and I got a day or two or three, whatever days it is. That's why you're my heroes, because I couldn't do it. And I suffered, and so did everybody else. So 6.5 months later, and I said everything I needed to say to her, and I felt like I got it all out, man. Because when I was there, in the first couple of sessions that we had, that stuff was pouring out of my ears. All that stuff that I harbored and stuffed down for all them years. I started to change. I started to want to be sober. I started doing things I never did before. And it started with little baby steps from sitting closer to the front and putting my hand up, and I prayed for willingness. First time ever, I prayed for willingness because I heard that. Willingness is everything in this program. It really is. And I prayed like to help me get into action, God, because I never did that before. And I knew if I didn't get into action, if I didn't put my ass in action, my disease was going to do something. And it always had. So I started to do things. I started to get involved. And when I time to go out of there, they got me out of the halfway house and they went back home and went right back to a meeting. As soon as I got there, I didn't wait. And I ran right to this meeting. I did something I never did before again. Like when I was there in my hometown in front of people that I remember seeing to certain meetings. And I put my hand up again and said, I'm an alcoholic and I need help. And I cried in public for the first time. Because I wasn't allowed to cry. Part of that abuse was my mom used to say, boy, you better not cry. I'll give you something to cry about. So we always had to stuff. That stuff's poison, man. So I started to do some things that were suggested to me. And I heard, like, we have the only disease in the world we could talk away. So I started to put my hand up on a regular basis, start to put my hand up. And I realized, like, it wasn't God's fault. God gave us human beings free will, and like we abuse them. I know I do. I abuse it at any single time. And I kept praying for willingness. Please, God, give me willingness. Please, God. I started getting involved and I started making coffee and setting up rooms and started doing little things to be in AA because a lot of all them years I was just around AA, it was never in. I started to be grateful. And I started to thank God for getting me up this morning. Thank God for getting me sober and keeping me sober. And I remember that meeting that somebody read Footprints in the Sand, and cried like a baby. I cried like a baby. I didn't care anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. He was carrying me the whole time. I just didn't know it. I was so blinded by my disease. I didn't have to put this fake facade on like I'm a tough guy. All that was so nobody would get close within arm's length because they would see that there was a scared little boy inside of me. I was scared to death. And I got a sponsor and I started to do this the work and right. And the topic today is the fourth step. And I know I've been an alcoholic for years, and it amazed me, right? There is a God out there, and the third step was I know he had my back. He made me brave enough to do a fourth step, and I did that fourth step, and for me, it was the game changer for me. It allowed me to put a zipper on my soul and let that crap out that I've been harboring for all them years. I can't carry it no more, God. You take it. And I realized, man, he had me the whole time. He had me the whole time. And he didn't let any of them things happen to me. Humans did. God, free will. And I got rid of all that stuff, man. I wanted to leave no stone unturned. And my sponsor, Charlie, and he's still my sponsor today. I met him this morning at that same meeting.
3 minutes, please.
It's a beginner's meeting, so. For me, it was a game changer. For me, I realized a lot of things early on, like the we in the program, the first word in the first step. We stay sober, I get drunk. It's actually for me the biggest word in recovery, man. It really is. And I love God today, and I love AA, and I'm really, really starting to love me today. And the more I stay sober, the more I find out new things about me, and I was just sick and broken. Person, not bad. It's because of you people today. You people show me how to recover, and you people can keep me sober. And I love this group. I really do, man. I love this group. I pop in here all the time, and man, I appreciate everybody in here, and I appreciate for this group to help open the doors and help people get a chance to get sober and stay sober. Thank you, everybody. I love everybody in here, and whether you like it or not, there's not a damn thing you can do about it. So thank you. Thank you for letting me share. Appreciate it.